number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Click and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime
now. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tannehill from the shotgun. Two receivers right. Tannehill looking to throw. His ball is swatted at the line of scrimmage. It's up for grabs. Landry comes up with it in the end zone. Touchdown, Dolphins. They take the lead, and he fires the football into the stand.
It is first down and goal from a half a yard away. Come on, Buccaneers. Jameis Winston takes the snap, hands off, bootleg roll, Winston, he'll dance into the end zone. There you go, Jameis scores his third rushing touchdown of the year. Touchdown Tampa Bay, fire the cannons, we lead 9-6.
Cutler takes the snap, blitzes on, he's going to screen it left, part of the 12. Here's Langford, 15-20, Langford 25-30, Langford away at the 40, a block from Wilson at the 40 of the Rams. Langford angling, middle of the field, running away from the Rams, the 10, 5, end zone, touchdown Bears. Jeremy Langford goes 83 yards on a screen.
Over the middle, and it's caught. It is Jordan Reed with another touchdown. And the Redskins extend their lead to 36-14.
Tony D with you.
This is Tony D working the third shift.
From the Quick and Loud Studios, here's
Tony D.
Tony D.
And a good Sunday night, Monday morning on to you on Yahoo Sports Radio as we go over week 10 of the National Football League. Our thanks to WINZ. Ryan Tannehill. Jarvis Landry as the Miami Dolphins beat the Philadelphia Eagles. WDAE and the great Gene Deckerhoff. Voice of the Buccaneers, voice of the Seminoles. Jameis Winston, a one-yard game-winning touchdown run as the Bucs beat the Dallas Cowboys. WBBM, Jay Cutler to Langford, 83 yards as the Chicago Bears win again, Adam, beat the St. Louis Rams. See, what do we do with the Bears? Strike up the band, dance in the streets?
Yeah, let's go. Super Bowl time.
Bears are winning some games. And WTEM, Washington Redskins Radio Network, Kirk Cousins, who had four touchdown passes, and yet we still don't believe in the Redskins, as they go on to beat the New Orleans Saints, who do have not the worst defense in the league. I had to look it up. Steven actually asked me on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, who has a worse defense, the Saints or Cleveland? It is close, Steven. Very, very close. But in total defense, the New Orleans Saints are 31st in the NFL. Cleveland is 30th in the NFL. The New York Giants are actually the worst overall defense in the league. But the Saints are just as bad. Ew! God, the Saints are terrible. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. You want to get your thoughts in on what we saw this weekend? I thought what we had this weekend, for the most part, there were a lot of... I don't want to use the word entertaining very lightly here because there were games that weren't entertaining but yet still had interesting outcomes. And yet there were games that were really, really fun to watch. I thought the Giants-Patriots game was as fun as I've seen a game. I thought it was an absolute blast. It was the kind of Patriots-Giants game that we've gotten. And look, people have been saying all week leading into this game, the Giants have a three-game win streak on the Patriots. But the problem is they don't play the Patriots that much, right? And the last two wins were in the Super Bowl. And the first time, that first Super Bowl was like, what, 100 years ago? So we're not talking about a streak like we see with Kansas City or Detroit against Green Bay, where they play every year, or they play a couple of times a year. The Patriots and the Giants don't play very often, and yet the Giants had won three straight against New England, but with personnel different, with all these kind of different personnel, the main ones stay the same, which is Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and yet the Giants, despite this horrific defense that they have, played pretty well and should have won the game. But one issue that we've got to get to, and I didn't get to this last hour, and we kind of touched on it, was how is the NFL dealing with this catch, no catch thing? Because as Adam, as you mentioned, there was like four today that where you went, what is this? Is that a catch? Is it a no catch? Is he supposed to establish a run? Is he not? Is he supposed to just cross the plane with it? How does this work? And I still don't know. If you watch Twitter, anytime that kind of play pops up, okay? Anytime. What you get is people on Twitter going, I think that's a catch. But then again, I don't even know what a catch is anymore. It's a line that's getting used so often. But there is truth to it. I hate to say it. I don't even know what's a catch anymore. I watch that Odell Beckham catch in the end zone, and I swear, that looks like a catch to me. caught the ball, planted his feet, crossed the plane, done. Nope, batted down. Earlier tonight in the Arizona-Seattle game, I thought that was a fumble. Now, incomplete. Turn and catch. So I don't know what the league is doing here. But we do need to establish something, you would think, right? It's just, it's very, very difficult. It's hard, too, because you're watching things, and what we think we know, we don't know. And that's the way, they're just not being called that way. Like I said, I thought Odell Beckham's catch was, you know, was a fine touchdown. I still don't know why it wasn't a touchdown. But I guess if the ball's batted away before you've established a walking move or a move with the ball in the end zone even, well, all right. If that's the rule, that's the rule. I'm just going to have to get used to it. All right, I want to welcome in WNJC in Philadelphia, 1360 AM, our new affiliate here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. This is me, Tony D, taking you through the night, talking some NFL. If you'd like to join us, our telephone number, 1-800-777-2907. You can also follow us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, or like our show Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. Let us know you're out there. Let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. All right, coming up next, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the roll. Are they dangerous? We'll ask that question. And are the Patriots flawed? There may be one little angle in which they are. We'll discuss those two things next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. That too. Back to the Quicken Loan Studios. And back to Tony D.
I was saying earlier tonight how I thought the Giants-Patriots game was as entertaining of a game I've watched this year, even though, you know, Brady turned the ball over a couple times. It was really kind of a... kind of a rather fun game to watch. I thought Arizona-Seattle was a really fun game to watch. And on Saturday, Adam and I were talking about how much football we were watching on Saturday. Baylor-Oklahoma was a blast. Kind of too bad the Big 12 might get shafted again in this college football playoff, but that was as good of a game as I've seen. That was fun. Boy, Baker Mayfield is fantastic.
We'll really find out what the committee thinks of the Big 12 if they drop Baylor, say, below a two-loss Michigan team.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that.
I was, you know, I put on Twitter, I sent out a tweet of my top 10, and I put Michigan at 10. And then I thought about it, I'm like, well, we just don't know what the committee's thinking with the Big 12, because Baylor could be 10, and Michigan could be 11 or 12.
But we all see
what they do to the Big 12 week in and week out. So
they'll give Oklahoma State some love.
Yeah,
they'll give Oklahoma a little bit of love.
Yeah,
but they're not jumping up and down screaming Big 12 yet.
No,
I would be very surprised if Oklahoma State cracks in yet. They may if they beat Oklahoma. They may. But it's going to be bad if Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State. They're going to get left out.
Do you think Oklahoma State jumps Iowa? Or do you think just Oklahoma State sits at six?
I think they're going to make Oklahoma State sit at six. That's just my guess.
That was my guess too.
I think they're just going to make them sit right now.
And I do think Bama jumps to one.
I do too. I absolutely.
Bama 1, Clemson 2,
absolutely.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, Iowa.
They want to make this statement. I'm telling you right now, and Reggie in Dallas, hang on, because we're going to get to you in a second. I think this committee does want to make a statement of, listen, I know all of you think about this as if you're unbeaten and you got to be. No. We're really voting the best team. We are really voting the best built football team that we've got. And yes, your resume counts. Yes, wins and losses count. But if you look the part, if it's just a matter of a loss versus a no loss, and you look better, and you've got a better offense, and you've got a better defense, and we believe that you will beat all these other teams, we'll put you number one. We're not afraid to do that. Clemson, Ohio State, if we believe Alabama could beat you on a neutral site, they're going to be number one. So chill, and don't yell and scream at us when we knock you down. I do not think they'll have a problem with that. All right, 800-777-2907. Reggie in Dallas, you're next up. What's on your mind, man?
Hello, again.
Reggie in Dallas. Go ahead, my man.
Hey, what's up, man? So, you brought up the fact that the Giants are the worst defense in the NFL currently, correct?
Statistically, they are.
Okay, so what I want to ask you is, what team do you think can beat the New England Patriots at the moment?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I think that the New England Patriots, See, this is what I think. I think the New England Patriots could be beat by a team like the Jets on a good night, or the Bills on a good night. A team that's very familiar with them, a team that's in their own division that catches them on a bad night. As far as just completely built to beat the Patriots, I don't think anybody. Although the Edelman injury is now going to play a different factor. I don't think anybody. I think where you beat the Patriots is familiarity. If you've been playing them and you just know a few tendencies and you can just take advantage of a couple of things, I think the weakness of the offensive line of the Patriots right now could lend to some pass rush on Tom Brady, although he's great at getting rid of the ball quickly. I just think that may come from a division foe. And looking at their schedule, I don't know where any losses are coming from immediately for the Patriots. I mean, maybe the Bills, but they've got that game at Foxborough. Broncos, no. Eagles, no. Texans, no. Titans, no. At the Jets could be really interesting. If Bulls upset defense and they're playing strong and can get to Brady a touch and maybe produce a bit of offense on their own, that's where I see it. It's just the old standby familiarity is kind of an advantage, and I think that's where you'll find a team beating them. But other than that, no, I don't think anybody, like, it's like Cincinnati. No, I don't think Cincinnati is built to beat them.
Yeah, and that's something I can ask you is later down the road. Say Cincinnati and New England matches up. I heard Julian Edelman just got hurt.
Yeah.
Today. Say that injury lingers on. Do you think Cincinnati is the best bet in the playoffs?
Now here's the great thing about Cincinnati. Cincinnati is playing relative without a lot of major injuries. This has been a very lucky season for them in that regards in terms of injuries. And they're loaded. Talent-wise, they are loaded. They can, offensively, they're one of the top teams in the NFL. Defensively, they're one of the top teams in the NFL. If they were to play the Patriots, I'd still bet on the Patriots. But they're as complete of a team as we've seen, as we have in the league right now. Thanks for the call, Reggie. Appreciate it. I still like the, I just like the way New England can close.
I do like the way the Bengals are built, though.
They are built well.
They do have a good defense. They do have a pretty good secondary. And they can run the ball when they get it going right. Right now, it's not been right lately. Jeremy Hill needs to get something figured out and run hard like he used to. And then Andy Dalton, he's playing at MVP level. I know Tom Brady is the MVP, but Dalton's playing up at that level.
I will say this, and the caveat is going to be here in terms of beating the Patriots, that right now there has been too much change at the offensive line. And I think Edelman's loss is a big deal. I think it's a very, very big deal. These are where the Patriots are weak. Is that if you can? But the problem with having a bad offensive line is that you can get pressure on the quarterback, but Brady is very good at not being susceptible to pressure. Like Manning had such a quick release, it was hard to get to him. Even if you could get to him, it was hard to get to him, if you know what I mean. But that's going to be a problem for them. And there is a sense of, again, without Edelman, Brady will make do with who you give him, but you can't lose these kind of quality players and just go, next guy, he'll be the star now. It doesn't work that way.
It's too bad that the Rams just picked up Welker.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it would have been a perfect reunion.
Welker could have gone crawling back to the Patriots. And Bill Belichick's going to pay a minimum wage.
It was so bad. I was watching the Rams play the Bears, and Welker signed this week. And he played a few snaps here and there, and they threw to him, Foles threw to him, I want to say four times. Every time he touched the ball or he was thrown near him, I like cringed. I was just waiting for him to get hit, and I'm just like, he caught the ball once. He started running out of bounds, and one of the Bears defenders hit him, and I was just like, oh, is he going to get up or is he dead already?
I said this last week. Listen, we can't baby these guys, but my God, I wish he wasn't coming
back. Yes, I completely agree with you. Especially seeing all the stuff that's happened to these athletes, you know, like Dave Duerson and all these kinds of guys that just have these problems. And for him to have so many concussions and then want to come back and play. And it's not like he's coming back for $10 million. You know, he's coming back for the veterans minimum prorated.
I just don't want to be 65 years old, sitting in my house in Florida, retired with my grandkids playing in my backyard and me flipping the channels in my lazy boy in my pajamas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and see Bryant Gumbel, who at that point will be 100, doing real sports still and saying, Wes Welker was once a star of the New England Patriots back in the day, but too many concussions left him, and just hear a story about how he's in some home and he doesn't remember his name and stuff. I just don't want that story with Wes Welker. I just don't want that. And that's something that doesn't happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen the next day. Although with Jim McMahon, he's relatively young. I mean, I know the 85 Bears feels like 100 years ago, but I just don't want to be old and finding out that Wes Welker is just a shell of himself because of these concussions. Remember last year when he wore that helmet that was three sizes?
Yeah.
Remember that? Thinking, if you have to wear a helmet like that, you shouldn't be playing. You can't play. If you have to wear a helmet like that, you can't play. So where I see the Patriots vulnerable is offensive line. If you can get to Brady a little bit and disrupt some of the timing, and I think the Edelman injury could hurt him. But the Bengals, let me make this clear. I will take the Patriots over the Bengals. That goes out for you, Steven, because I know you stick up for your Bengals. I will take the Patriots over the Bengals. But the Bengals are as complete of a team as we've got in this league.
Yes.
Without question. You don't find very many teams in the NFL that are a top five offense and a top five defense.
And the crazy thing about the Bengals is they still really, early on in the season, he was going. But lately, A.J. Green hasn't been, you know, A.J. Green.
Yeah, that's true.
If they can get him going, and like I said, Jeremy Hill going, they're an even better team, which makes them scary because they're obviously winning every game.
Did you know A.J. Green played high school in Somerville, South Carolina for John McKissick? Who is John McKissick, you ask?
Yes.
Go ahead. Who is John McKissick?
Who is John McKissick?
John McKissick is the head coach at Somerville High School. And John McKissick has been coaching at Somerville High School in South Carolina since 1952.
Whoa.
Yep. 1952. And he wrote a book.
It's job
which
security.
He basically went through the years of coaching. And what is fascinating about the book is not the wins and the losses. It's dealing with Korea, Vietnam, Kennedy assassination, the 70s, student rebellions, civil rights movement, all the historical things. He's been at one school talking about all of it and how it affected his kids. Amazing man.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on the Nighttop at Yahoo Sports Radio. As we continue to look at Week 10 in the National Football League, Frank Schwab joins us from Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner to help us go over Week 10. How are you, my man?
Good, dude. Good. What's going on?
I want to get to a Sunday night's game right off the bat. So Arizona gets this win over Seattle, and I want to focus on Seattle for a second. They're now 4-5. Yeah, I know we got a lot of games going on, but I don't want to say this is the nail in the coffin, but how important was getting a win tonight for Seattle?
I really thought it was their season. Like, I mean, you know, things can change. And it sounds stupid if they win their last seven to make the playoffs and make a run. But just looking at it, where they were, as far as where the NFC is going, playoff race, you know, how it just the positioning of everybody. You got the Packers in a wild card spot. You got the, you know, Rams are going to be fighting for one. You got the Falcons are going to be fighting for one. And now, you know, the Seahawks have to get a wild card. I don't think they're catching Arizona anymore. And it's not just, you know, what this win or loss would do for them in the standings. It's just they didn't look like a team that's going to make the playoffs. They didn't look like a team that's a championship team. They, you know, I mean, a lot of things have just gone wrong for the Seahawks this year. It's just it's not the same team we've seen the last 3 years. And, you know, I held on. I picked Seattle. I really thought we were going to get an A-plus effort tonight. And for a little bit we did. But there's just whatever's going wrong with this team is just too much to overcome at this point.
And when we look at the Arizona Cardinals, now, is this the team we saw last year before the Carson Palmer injury? Are we getting even a better team than that?
Yeah, I think it's better. I really do. I think this is the best the Arizona Cardinals have played. Last year I thought, I don't want to say there were smoke and mirrors, but I didn't think they were that strong last year before Palmer. I heard they were good. They were fine. I mean, they're a good, solid football team, but, you know, they had a lot of close wins and stuff. This year, they're good. I mean, I was waiting for them to get that one really quality win where I could say, okay, yeah, I believe now, and I do. You know, Palmer's playing great. They have a lot of good weapons in the passing game. And a good running game with Chris Johnson. Who thought we'd have been saying that a few months ago? But, you know, their defense is good. This is just a good, solid overall team. And, if you're saying who's the best team in the NFC right now, it's got to be the Panthers number one. But the Cardinals have to be number two after them.
All right, you know how fans are. We always get into overreaction Monday. So the Green Bay Packers lose to Denver, and then they lose to Carolina. They're both road games. They're both teams that are going to the playoffs. They lose at home to Detroit. Should we overreact here and wonder what's wrong with the Packers, or is this something that just happens to even good teams?
No, I think that this is the time to overreact. Because I was fully with you before today saying, come on, guys. They lost at Denver, at Carolina. Who cares? That's not – yeah, they didn't look good, but it's too early. It's too early to bury them. You come home and you lose. You get kind of dominated by a 1-7 Lions team that hasn't won there since 1991. And again, it's not just, okay, this was the final score. It was how did they look? Aaron Rodgers played miserably today. I know our final numbers look okay, but there were passes he was missing. Yeah, I mean, we've never seen Rodgers missing like this before, and he just looks skittish in the pocket. He's not accurate. He's not, you know, he's not throwing deep, because I guess they have no deep game without Jordy Nelson, but this is just a different offense. They came into this game 25th in the NFL in total offense and 25th in passing offense with the reigning MVP of the league. It's just not, this team is just not very good right now. And maybe we overlooked some things when they were 6-0, but it's all coming back on them now. This is just not a, they're good. I'm not saying they're terrible. They're not going to lose out or anything, but this is not a football team that looks like they can win a championship this year, which 15 days ago we thought they could.
All right, out in Denver where the Broncos lose to Kansas City, and this snaps a Chiefs losing skid to Denver of 7 games, but a lot of the conversation is now on Peyton Manning. Frank, where is this story with Kubiak, Manning? Who makes the call on injuries? Where is this story? Where is this going to head?
You know, that's the problem. The problem is this. It is the head coach's call, but you know, some guys transcend the game. And, I covered Brett Favre, for a few years in Green Bay. And there was a year, 2000, I believe it was, when he had a really bad elbow to start the year. And literally, there was nobody in the organization that could tell him, hey, you got to sit. Because, you know, the streak, and, you know, he's Brett Favre. He's bigger than the organization. And I think Peyton Manning is just, I mean, maybe not bigger than the organization, but bigger than, he's almost bigger than the game. You know what I mean? Like, if you're Gary Kubiak, you're a coach of the Denver Broncos, and you know that Peyton Manning's hurting on Saturday. And, you know, in your head, you know, hey, maybe we're better off with Brock on Sunday. Can you really go to Peyton Manning and tell him, no, sorry, Peyton, I got to go with Brock today? I just don't think he can. I mean, I don't know any other than Bill Belichick, maybe. I don't know many coaches that could make that call. I've said this, I feel for Gary Kubiak. He's in an impossible spot right now where, let's be absolutely honest, Peyton Manning has not earned the job of Denver Broncos starting quarterback this year. He should not be starting for them. That's just the truth. He's been statistically the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this year. Since the beginning of week 4, he has 4 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. I mean, if it was anybody else, except maybe Tom Brady or maybe Drew Brees, we would not even be thinking twice about him being benched. Imagine if Joe Flacco threw 4 touchdowns and 14 interceptions over a 6-game stretch. It would just be no contest at that point. He'd be done. But since it's Peyton Manning, you know, Gary Kubiak comes out and says, hey, Peyton's healthy, he's my quarterback. Well, he's just not playing that well. I'm sorry. I like Peyton Manning. I have nothing against Peyton Manning. This doesn't make me feel good to be talking about this because he's been such a joy to watch in his career. But he's just not that guy right now, and I really think it's in the best interest of the Denver Broncos to go to Brock Osweiler. But to finish up, going back to what I started with, I don't know if Gary Kubiak can tell NFL royalty like Peyton Manning, hey, we think Brock Osweiler is the best for the team right now.
How about John Elway? Could he tell Peyton Manning, you got to sit this one out?
I think that that's the caveat there. You're right, Tony. He's the guy. I mean, if it was, I think if it ever came down to we're going to sit you, Peyton, we got to see if Brock can be a better quarterback for this team, I do think it would have to be an Elway thing because he, talk about a guy who's bigger than the game. I mean, he is, yeah. And he would have, but I know John Elway has a lot of respect for Peyton Manning. It's not just as simple as them telling him and making this tough decision. It's also that I'm sure in John Elway's eyes, maybe some of his teammates' eyes, maybe Gary Kubiak's eyes, they think, you know, he's going to get out of this. He's going to be Peyton Manning at some point. He's going just because of the respect he engenders. And that's understandable. He literally might be the greatest quarterback of all time. So I just think it's a tough spot. It's an interesting dilemma they have. But I personally, right now, I think Brock Osweiler is the best choice for the Denver Broncos. And that's, again, it doesn't bring me any great joy to say that. It's just that I think you got to see at least, maybe he can just bring you something that Peyton hasn't. Again, the 17 interceptions, I think it is, on the season. He leads the NFL. He's just not very good right now.
Frank Schwab, Shutdown Corner, Yahoo Sports, joins us as we go over Week 10 in the National Football League. So I always say this when I talk about a team and whether or not they're real or not, is that you are what your record is, so I'm not going to take anything away. Are the Minnesota Vikings really one of the best teams in the NFC?
I can talk myself into it. I mean, there's reasons to be skeptical. I mean, if you're into advanced stats, and I am, I like looking into, hey, is this team for real? Or are they just winning a bunch of close games? They're not very kind to the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the Vikings have, been on the right side of a lot of close games, but then I hate to do this, but the eye test, Adrian Peterson's really, really good. He's leading the NFL in rushing again. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a fine quarterback. I don't think he's Tom Brady or anything, but he's good. He can do some things for you. Their defense is getting better and better. They're a good young team. I think they're well coached. I'm kind of buying on these guys, Tony. I think the Vikings are pretty good. I let me put it to you this way: when I wouldn't assume the Packers are going to be favored next week going into Minnesota, nor should they be. I mean, this Vikings team, that first week was just weird. We talked about it. They went into San Francisco, and they looked awful. And they're just one of those weird games in the NFL you just can't explain. Since then, the only loss was a field goal loss at the Denver Broncos. So I guess it goes against my nature in looking at the advanced numbers and really trying to figure out who's lucky or who deserves it. And I'm just kind of buying this Vikings team. I just think they're pretty good.
Now, I heard Chris Collinsworth say tonight that, look, there's a couple of teams, that when they get into the playoffs, if they just can get in, could be dangerous. He mentioned the Steelers. Are the Steelers, if healthy, are they a dangerous AFC team?
I think they're very dangerous, week to week. I think with Le'Veon Bell, they would have been, hey, this team is dangerous to go all the way.
Yeah.
But not with Le'Veon Bell, I think their ceiling's a little more limited. I don't know that they can string together four straight wins like that because, he's just, he's incomparable almost. He's one of those backs that just does everything, and now you just don't lose a guy like that and not feel it. But at the same time, if this team were to go to a Cincinnati, if they were to go to a Denver, if they go to even a New England, would anybody want to see this team? Let's assume Ben's healthy. Antonio Brown might be the best player in the NFL who's not a quarterback. He's already over 1,100 yards, and that's with a few missing weeks when Michael Vick couldn't get him the ball. Martavis Bryant is unbelievable. Ben threw for almost 400 today, and he came off the bench. And he shouldn't even have been playing. It's a team nobody would want to face just because, you're probably going to need to score 31, 35, maybe even more to beat them because their offense is going to come. That passing game is really devastating.
The Dallas Cowboys will probably get Tony Romo back next week, but is it too late? I mean, you can't get one win in seven games without him. One win?
Mind-boggling. It is unbelievable, isn't it? And the worst about it is you can make an argument that they should have won any one of five of them.
Oh, yes.
And maybe six. The sixth game that I mentioned is they led Atlanta by 14 points two different times. Now, okay, I mean, that doesn't mean he should win. So even if you cross that off, lost a couple overtime games, lost the Seahawks when he led in the fourth quarter, he lost today when he led in the fourth quarter. It's at some point you got to close it out. You got to win a game when you're leading the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 3 points in the fourth quarter. You got to find a way to win, and they haven't. And I thought that they were still alive just because this NFC East is so bad. Let's say they would have won today. They would be 3-6 with Romo coming back, and the leader of the division is 5-5. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're in the race. You're a game and a half out. You're not. You got 7 more games with Tony Romo to make things up. But now, you know, I just think the difference between 3-6 and 2-7 is pretty large. You got to win out almost. I don't know that they can do that either. I think they're a dangerous team. I think they're a good team because they've hung in there without any good quarterback play. But 2-7 is just a hole you just don't dig out of, really.
And Jameis Winston has got his team with the same record as Seattle, and he didn't have a very good game and finds a way to win. He's not having a bad year so far.
Not at all, not at all. And the thing that surprised me the most is, for the most part, he wasn't good today, but before today, the few weeks before today, he's not turning the ball over. He's making good decisions. He seems to know what to do with the ball and where to go with it. And I thought he was going to be an interception machine. I really did. I'm having a good Jameis Winston year. He was still going to throw 18 interceptions because he's that kind of a player. He's a Jay Cutler-esque, you know, I got a big arm and I have confidence, I'm going to throw the ball. And sometimes I'm going to make mistakes, but sometimes they're going to beat you too. But he hasn't even been doing that. He's been very safe with the ball. He hasn't made many mistakes. I'll tell you what, one of the stories of the NFL this year, I think, is the play of Mariota and Winston. We're so begging for good young quarterbacks in the league, and I think that these two guys are really, really good. And I know Mariota didn't win today, but he's been playing really well. I think Winston's a good player. These guys, it looks like, you know, we were debating, like, you know, after week one, like, who should they draft in 1-2? It looks like, really, you couldn't go wrong either way. I think both of these guys are good players.
Absolutely. Frank Schwab, Shutdown Corner, Yahoo Sports, giving us a breakdown of week 10. Always good talking to you, Frank. Take care, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. See you next week. All right, again, Frank Schwab at Yahoo Sports as we go over week 10 of the National Football League. Yeah, I just look, Tennessee Titans, where I live in Nashville, they're not fun to watch, but Marcus Mariota is fun to watch. The team as a whole, all right, they got their ups and downs. They got their holes and the flaws, and some of the players don't play as hard or whatnot, but Mariota is still exciting to watch. Even when he doesn't win, even when he struggles a little bit, there is still that something that you can tell. If you've been following this game a while, you just watch and go, hey, some of this is growing pains. Some of this is a guy still learning the overall flow of the National Football League, which is way higher than anything he could have had in college. So you put up with a few miscues. You've put up with a few mistakes. But one thing you don't sense when you watch Mariota play is that the game is way over his head. You feel like he's just learning it as he goes, and he's still fun to watch. And Winston is the same way. Frank's right. But today was not a good game for him. He still found a way to win, but he had been much smarter with the football over the last couple of games, not turning the ball over leading up to today. 2 interceptions today against the Cowboys, but he did score on a 1-yard touchdown run with 54 seconds left to go. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number as we continue through the night tonight. Still baffled by what's going on in Denver with Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak. Who should step in and say, hey, Peyton, you gotta let us do what's best for the team, and it means sitting you down. It probably is gonna have to be John Elway here. 800-777-2907. We'll talk about the next Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, I still am concerned about what is going on with the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak. I still can't believe cooler heads could not prevail in a competitive environment. Smart, mature athletes / coaches could not determine the severity of an injury for a quarterback. Listen, I get all of the, he's a gamer, he's competitive, I get all that. Believe me, I have not crawled out of a cave. I have been around these guys. I have covered this league for 20 years. I understand the mentality. But I also know that there is wisdom in age. And Peyton Manning is not a 22-year-old kid who thinks he can still conquer the world. He is a 39-year-old football player who knows how his body works. And I can't believe he believed he could go out and play on those various injuries at his age. And I get it. He doesn't want to quit. I know. But one of the things about Peyton Manning is that he's smart. He's smarter than your average bear. He's a smart guy that knows how to play the position. And the Broncos went through this last season. He had this injury. Everyone denied it. No, when they were going to the running game, everyone said it's just because John Fox wants to change the offense a bit, you know, get something new in there. And the whole time he was hurt. The whole time. And most people just went, oh, that's Peyton Manning. You know, he's just, that's the Broncos being smart. No, it was Peyton Manning being hurt. Nobody wanted to admit it. Here was Peyton Manning at the end of the game being asked if it was your call to make a change at quarterback because he was benched in the game against the Chiefs.
Peyton, was it your call or Gary's call to make the change?
Well, no. Coach Kubiak told me that he was going to make the change.
See, now that to me is fine. I don't want a player to be asked out of a game, but Kubiak gambled, and the gamble didn't pay off. As Frank Schwab pointed out in the last segment, Peyton Manning is statistically one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Not theoretically, all right? Statistically, he's just too many interceptions, not enough touchdown passes, bad quarterback passer ratings. It's been a terrible season. So Kubiak didn't have the guts to say, I can't let him out. I can't put him out there. We've got a game against New England coming up. It's a big game. I think we can still beat the Chiefs with Osweiler. I got to get my man healthy for that game against the Patriots. And guess what? He may not be healthy now for that game against the Patriots. Here's Kubiak on taking Peyton Manning out.
Coach, when Peyton came out of the game, was he benched for an ineffectiveness injury? What was the
behind? No, I was protecting him because I was worried about him.
That was Troy Rank of the Denver Post who asked that question. All right. Again, worried about him. But again, where was the wherewithal at the beginning of the season? Where was the honest assessment of an injury? It wasn't like he got hit and got hurt or re-aggravated something. He was bad from the second he was on the field. If you're a fan of this football team, you should feel like the team is in good hands. And the team is not in good hands if it's just going to let a quarterback that's never going to admit that he's hurt, too hurt to play, and a coach that's too afraid to tell him. That's not in good hands. Here's Gary Kubiak again on letting Peyton Manning play.
You know, I'm disappointed in myself. This is on me. I probably should have made a decision not to play him in the game. And the reason I needed to make that probably a tough decision there. He practiced Friday, you know, felt good. Came out of practice Friday, Saturday. As y'all know, his ribs were bothering him a little bit. And I probably should have right there said, you know, no, he's not going to go this week. But he's a competitor. He wanted to play. Aqib was out. DeMarcus was out. He wanted to go. He felt like he could go. But I'm disappointed myself because I probably should have made that decision yesterday and I didn't.
You know why the organization wanted Peyton Manning to play against the Chiefs? It had nothing to do with, well, you know, Peyton Manning's a game. He gives us the best chance to win. Nobody in that organization believes that a 39-year-old quarterback with busted ribs and an injured foot and a guy who's having a statistically awful season gives him the best chance to win. Nobody. No. He was, 3 yards shy of breaking Brett Favre's passing yards record, and he got to do it at home. Next week, they're on the road at the Bears. So if he played that week, if he didn't play against the Chiefs and played that week and on the road, the record would have been broken on the road. He didn't mind breaking it in Indianapolis. It's a completely different place. But if he has a chance to break it at home, he breaks it at home. You go out and throw one screen pass, you have the record. I don't believe for one second, that a 39-year-old busted-up quarterback gave you the best opportunity to win in a season where he could not throw the football very well. Stop. It's nonsense. No, this was about, okay, let's throw Peyton Manning out there and hope for the best. Then he breaks the record, everybody's happy. Gary Kubiak should be man enough to go, I'm taking this kid, he's not playing. Kid, 39 years old, listen to me. That's old man Manning we're talking about. He don't go out for anybody. Oh, my goodness. Listen, Broncos got a stellar defense. They've got a defense that's capable of winning a championship. Don't mess around with your quarterback in week 10. All right? If Manning is the best chance you've got in the postseason, a healthy Manning, get him healthy. If it means dropping a game or two and getting Osweiler experience, you do exactly that.